you see that movie?
The Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
With Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp,
oh,
yeah.
No, I heard it was awful. No. Listen, you can't beat Clayton Moore and Jay Silverhills. You can't play with the originals.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because what did they do in that movie? They got all stupid. It was so over the top.
I don't know.
It was ridiculous.
Well, anyway, I like the music. Anyway, Hans Zimmer, he does the Batman stuff, too.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was the 1950s. That was the original music to the Lone Ranger.
That was William Tell Overture. It's got nothing to do with the Lone Ranger.
I hold Silver away.
Yeah, well, it's nevertheless,
you
it's
know?
Rossini.
Who was that masked man? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, classic. Well, anyway, there you go. That's our debate.
Oh, good. You talked about falling apart, right?
That's our debate for the night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and believe it or not, this is North Shore Sports Night for this Monday night. So how you doing?
Am I doing? I'm doing good. I survived the, let me see, 16, like the 25th annual Ha Ha Weekend.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
The annual get-together of about 8 to 10 guys where we've gone away camping, and now went from camping to condo to now lake house.
Oh.
So as we've gotten older, we've gotten wimpier.
Well, you know what a Republican is, right? A Republican is a Democrat who got mugged. So as you get older, there you go. Okay, so anyway, we'll talk sports tonight, and believe it or not, the playoffs start next, not this Friday, but a week from Friday.
I still can't get
Well, anyway, we got to talk. Let me tell you the lineup for tonight, and then we'll get into it. We're going to talk to mostly football coaches, of course, and you can let us know at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Email us with comments, suggestions, critique, whatever. Anyway, we're going to start with Revere coach Lou Ciccatelli at your behest.
Thank you.
I don't have the paper here. You took it. Well,
I didn't take it. I always bring my own,
okay.
Mr. Moore.
Yeah.
Let's not be so quick to
I'll get it in a minute.
Jacuzzi.
No, you're going to knock this over. I'll get it.
I get it.
Holy genie.
Long arm of the law.
Thank you very much. Right, anyway, we're going to talk to Revere coach Lou Ciccatelli. As Revere won a game, you said it was an overtime, right, over Swampscott, 29.
Yes, it was.
27. They were down big time in that game, and the Patriots came back. We will talk with Manchester Essex coach Jeff Hutton. Now, Manchester Essex didn't fare so well, as they were on the short end of a game. Who'd they play? Where is it? I know they didn't win. Well, no, I don't see it here. But they lost, and they had a big comeback. They were down big time, had a comeback. Manchester Essex.
Oh, yeah.
I can't find the score here, interestingly enough. That's kind of weird. So we'll call you, there it is, Ipswich. They lost Ipswich 34-25.
Who is playing surprisingly good football.
Kevin Fassett's team. Kevin Fassett, new Ipswich coach, done a great job. We've talked with him. But we'll talk with Jeff Hutton about the Green Hornets and how they're doing. We will also check in with Peabody coach Mark Betancourt. And, boy, that team is on a roll, and they've got the game of the week coming up on our video broadcast this Friday night. They will be at Danvers, and so we'll be talking with Coach Betancourt.
Are you there in Danvers this Friday of the week?
Yeah, Paul and I will be there. Uh-huh. Gloucester has its first annual homecoming game on Friday night. They will be hosting Saugus for the first time in many years. But we'll also talk tonight with Steve Cummings. He's the Wakefield coach, and Wakefield winning their division, at least tying for first place in their division. They still have to play Melrose on Thanksgiving Day, but Wakefield winning again on Friday night. So congratulations to Coach Cummings and the Wakefield Warriors. We'll be talking with them. Bill Newell will close it out for us tonight with some thoughts and hopefully some scores as well. Bill monitoring that scoreboard much as you do at games. So this weekend we will have Beverly at Lynn Classical. That's where you will be. I will have Peabody at Danvers on Friday night. That'll be our live streaming video game. Saugus is at Gloucester. And just checking the scoreboard, the winners over the weekend, Gloucester, Ipswich, Danvers, Peabody, the Prep, Masco. I did have a call out to Coach Gavin Monagle as well. Amesbury, let's see here. As we mentioned, Revere, Pingree, Marblehead over Classical, Fenwick, Shawsheen, Winthrop beating Saugus, and North Reading really sticking it to Triton, 41-13, and I was supposed to get a hold of the North Reading coach and didn't do that. That one's on me.
Yeah, You know, this game for Beverly against Lynn Classical. Classical is 0-3 in the conference, 1-5 overall. But this is such a trap game for Beverly, coming off two consecutive losses to Marblehead and to Damage. They can't have their heads down about the losses, but neither can they think this is going to be a walkover over Lynn Classical. Classical can play some very good football. They've got some talented individuals there, and Beverly has to definitely overcome this recent habit of falling behind at the beginning of the game. They've got to get out ahead and get out ahead by a couple of touchdowns, and then just keep the pressure on throughout the remainder of the game, because they can't afford a third loss in that North Division.
Well, you know, and I'm interested to try to figure out how this playoff system works, and maybe one of the coaches can let us know tonight, because there's a whole list. I guess it's a point system now.
Yeah,
and there are like 12 or 15 teams that are in on it, and so on. So,
well, it's everybody within your division, and it's part of the old
system. Yeah, but who makes the playoffs? How many teams make it? See, that's what I want to find out.
Everybody that qualifies with the number of points.
Well, so what's the number of points? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. And there's got to be a place we can go to take a look.
You know who we need to call? Mr. Dombowski.
All right. Well, you know what? I bet one of these coaches will know, too. Nick might. And Bill might even. I don't know. But anyway, we'll figure it out. And I know that...
Bill can hardly keep score.
Ben Goodhue is listening, so Ben can let us know, too. Ben, how you doing, Coach?
Yeah, Ben, if you're listening, call us and tell us how this works. It's been 3 years, and we still can't figure it out. And
well, but it changed this year.
I was going to say, and they tweaked it this year, so we're even more confused. Yeah. So if you can elucidate... upon the situation.
Well, right now, I know
that basically appreciate it.
The schools that are in the driver's seat, Wakefield, you know, they've made it in the Middlesex League. Marblehead, pretty sure.
Marblehead Danvers.
Marblehead will win the division.
Right.
One more win. They still need one more, apparently. Danvers could possibly tie for first. If Danvers wins, Marblehead loses.
So if they have the same record, Marblehead wins based upon head-to-head competition.
Well, but they'll still tie. They'll get in the playoffs, is my point.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
All right. And then Gloucester in the driver's seat in the south. Winthrop with a chance to slide in right behind them, and also Revere. But they can't catch Gloucester. Gloucester's 4-0 in the conference. Winthrop, Revere are each 2-1. So they could conceivably tie, right? Gloucester could, if Gloucester were to lose to Saugus, Winthrop and Revere win its two final games, they could tie for first. But it looks like Gloucester's in the driver's seat there.
And again, and Gloucester has to be very careful this weekend against Saugus, because Saugus being winless, okay, you know, the attitude has to remain the same, the focus has to remain the same, the intensity has to remain the same, and with Christian Sanfilippo closing in on that all-time rushing record at Gloucester High School, I think that the team will keep that focus and help him get that much closer to that goal.
Cape Ann League, Kinney, Masconomet, and North Reading are each 2-1 in the league. So, interestingly enough, Triton has fallen to 1-1, so that is a dogfight in the Kinney. And then in the Baker, Linfield out in front, they're in the driver's seat at 3-0. Next team after them is Ipswich at 2-1. So, you know, one more week to go, I guess. And I say, how do you figure this, Coach? Because like Danvers and Beverly, no, excuse me, Winthrop and Revere, they don't finish their league next week. Everybody else does. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Ben, help us.
Yeah. All right, anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we will check in with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. And you're listening to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. Yeah, I need some help, that's for sure. So we'll be right back. And again, you know, let us know. msonewsports@gmail.com. Okay. Thank you very much.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends.
Bourbon Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli, and Revere winning on Friday night, I guess. Saturday must have been. Was it at Swampscott, coach?
Yeah, Saturday at Swampscott.
All right, 27. Yep, by in overtime. Well, coach, first of all, congratulations. Big win for you guys. And tell us about the game, how it went, the ebb and flow and so on.
It was really a tale of two halves. Basically, we had two long drives, a 70 and an 85-yard drive the first half to take the lead 14-0, and things kind of went our way for most of that, you know, the first half. And I told the guys at the half, Swampscott's got a very, very good offense, and we knew we were in for a battle second half, and it was just that. They came storming back with 21 unanswered points. We never saw the ball in the third quarter. They had it the whole third quarter. But we persevered, and we're very fortunate to get a nice long drive, 60-yard drive with around 3 minutes and 40 seconds left to tie the game up and put into overtime and ultimately win.
You know, Coach, that is such a character test for the team, not to have the ball in the third quarter and yet still remain focused and committed to the cause, not to give up, to giving up the lead. It would have been easier, really, to sit back and let Swampscott take that. But the kids focused in. They got a late long drive, punched in the tying score, and the infusion of confidence that score had to give them, and holding on at the end to get into the overtime and then score the two extra points in overtime to give yourself that breathing room.
It was unbelievable, and you know, like I said, there's no quitting our guys. I'll say that. You know, we struggled early on this season and we won two straight. So yeah, they're focused. They knew it was a must win. And yeah, we were very fortunate to get out of there with a win. But, you know, one thing I will say is, you know, there were so many different things that happened in that fourth quarter. It was one of those games where things had to go our way down the stretch. And one of them was making our PATs, which has been an Achilles heel this year. You know, that's something that really came down to. And Batter Hayu, our sophomore kicker, was ice. We were calling him ice all week. He kicked him through, and he got us into overtime, and you know, and good things came out as a result.
Did you have a message for them at halftime that sort of changed as you went into the fourth quarter?
Oh God! As far as the halftime, I told them that, again, Swampscott's a very good football team, and we knew. I told them it was 0-0 because we knew they made a couple of adjustments. We were playing a lot of man. They made a couple of adjustments, ran a lot of crossing routes in the second half, and we're getting behind our linebackers, and they were getting us pretty good. So, you know, without question, we had to make some adjustments. We were able to, like I said, to hang on, and, you know, overtime, you got to go for two, and we got the ball first and punched it in on two plays, got the two-point conversion, which is critical, and they answered, came right back, and they didn't get the two-point conversion. We ended up sacking the quarterback, and the game was ours.
Lou, I like to ask coaches on a Monday after they've seen the film. You know, we see the scoring sheets, we see who's your stars on offense, at least for getting into the end zone. But I like to ask them about a lineman that maybe the coach sees the good play. Maybe we don't when we're up in the stands or up in the press box. But can you mention one or two of your kids up front?
Yeah, absolutely. My center, my sophomore center, Frank Sims, and my sophomore tackle, Devin Mathias. Both are coming along really, really well. They've been a pleasant surprise. I thought our offensive line was the key this week. We were very, very fortunate. We opened a lot of nice holes up the middle, and we did a real good job running the football on the edge with those two young kids. So, yeah, hats off to those two. They're doing very well, and they're getting better each week.
Lou, was there a play in the fourth quarter that you saw as a turning point in the game?
Yeah, without question, it was it has to be the last score to tie it up, where Ed Sullivan, our quarterback, hit Oscar Lopez on a 15-yard fade route in the corner. Oscar had three touchdowns in the game. He had three catches, three touchdowns. Sullivan had three touchdown passes, and he's just been a beast for us on offense and they were amazing catches in the back of the end zone, two of them. So I'd say that was it. And believe it or not, you know, I was going for two at the end with 24 seconds left for the win. We were going for the win. And we got an offsides call.
Mm.
So it backed us up five, so I decided to kick the PAT. So believe it or not, to me, probably one of the most important plays happened to be that PAT with my sophomore kicker. He doesn't make it. I'm not talking to you right now, probably.
Listen, Coach, you know, in years past, sometimes we've had this great start, and you guys have had, you've run into trouble later on. The kids have gotten hurt. They've, you know, whatever it might be. Kids are kids. But the trend seems to be reversing this year, and you've got a young team. They seem to be maturing. So, you know, you're putting it together a little bit later this year than usual, but they're playing well at this point.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. We were just talking about that today. Usually, revere teams get out to a good start. You know, we've been 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and only to have a little bit of a collapse down the stretch for a number of reasons. But, yeah, I mean, we started off 0-4. We lost two games by a total of 5 points.
Mm.
Where we could easily be sitting at 4-2. You know, and the guys know that. They know that. And
yep.
What I'm most proud about is a lot of teams, you know, when you're 0-4, you get down, and sometimes you pack it in. And I could say these kids just want to play football on Fridays and Saturday afternoons and have a little bit of fun. And yeah, I mean, we're making a good comeback, and hopefully we can get a big win against Salem and get back in the playoffs.
You know, Coach, I wanted to ask you about Salem. They took a pretty good beating at the hands of a very strong Gloucester team last weekend. And you're 2-1. They're 2-2. They struggled early in the season. They got on a roll for several games, scored a lot of points, put W's on the board. Bit of a setback against Gloucester. What becomes your message to the kids to prepare them for the Salem game? Because they had some very talented individuals on that team, in wide receiver, running back, and their quarterback.
No doubt about it, Tim. Well, Gloucester's beating everybody up. They're rolling. Coach has really got them rolling over there. They're doing very well. But as far as us for Friday night, we know they got the kid Lubin, that tailback, and I don't know his name offhand, but their other tailback, number 10, I'm not sure his name offhand, but they're both two of the better backs I think we've seen this year, other than San Filippo up at in Gloucester. So we most certainly got our hands full. Their quarterback is very ample, and they've improved so much from last year. They're fast. They got a smart little offense. And I told the guys we're going to have to bring our A game on Friday night at Harry Della to beat them.
Well, certainly, I think finding the A game based upon last weekend's results, knowing that they, you know, they withstood the charge, they made the comeback, and they took the game in overtime. The kids just have to have a whole new level of confidence going into practice this week, and the focus for you. By them, for you, is going to be that much sharper.
Oh, God. I'll tell you, Tim, we made a lot of changes. We just couldn't get it going on offense. We couldn't get sustained drives. We went back to our old wing tee stuff. And we've got three very, very good running backs. Rivera, Lopez, when we use him in the slot, and Anthony DeStefano, who we moved to fullback. And we're becoming, I'm sure you've heard the old saying, we're becoming a three-headed monster on offense. And the kids believe in the offense. It's a simple package, but it's been effective for the last 2 weeks, so we're most certainly going to stick with it.
Sounds good, Coach. Listen, how do you assess the league this year, Lou? It's my final question. You look at the North and the South and the NEC, and what I've seen so far is there are a lot of young guys. There's a lot of sophomores and juniors in the league this year, but to me it looks like it's a pretty good level of competition in both divisions.
Oh, without a question. I say it every year. You got to come to play. You got to come to play in the Northeastern Conference, whether it's large, small. You got to bring your A game every night. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night. Right now, I see Gloucester's been tough. You know, we watched a little bit of film against them with Salem. They're a good football team. That running back, I think, is one of the better running backs I've seen in a long time. And other than them, I think as far as in our league, it's anything's up for grabs.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you still have a chance of making the playoffs, Lou?
We do. If you look in Division 1A, it's crazy. There's a number of teams, including us, I want to say five or six, that are below 500.
Mm-hmm.
So with a win, I believe with a win against Salem on Friday night, I'm pretty sure we're in.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, guess my last question. What's your favorite new restaurant in Revere?
Well, I don't really eat. I always make it a rule. I don't eat a lot of food out in Revere. But I'll give you a place up where I live.
And that is?
Yep, it's called Buns. It's a hamburger place up in Ipswich, right by Dairy Queen.
Yep.
One of the best hamburgers. You got to go if you haven't tried it. One of the best burger joints I've ever been
in. We've got to make a list. Make a list, Coach.
That's going to be my question to the coach from here on.
All right, we'll have to do that tonight. We'll have to do it tonight. We're on to something new, Lou. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure.
All right, Coach. We'll talk to you later. Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks much.
Lou Ciccatelli, the Revere football coach, and we'll have to do that.
I just had to have a different question.
Good idea. Okay. All right, we need to take a break. Come right back with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on this here Monday night, and we will be right back with more from the coach.
I didn't realize he was an Ipswich guy.
Nope, me too.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink. Friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back, and Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton joins us now. And, Coach, how are you doing?
I'm great. You guys?
Excellent. I can't believe we're this far along in the season already. It's amazing. And, Coach, you've run into some really tough competition, but I didn't get to the game. But great praise for your comeback on Friday night, nearly pulling it out. So let's start right there, Coach. Give us an assessment of the game on Friday.
Sure. Well, I think it shows that despite what we've had to deal with, some adversity as far as low numbers, injuries, you know, key injuries, we still got a little bit of fight left in us. You know, like I mentioned in the paper, it would be nice, and I told the kids after the game, it would be great if we could play most of the game, like we played the last, like, 16 minutes, as opposed to letting teams go up. Like, I mean, they were up 27-6 at one point, and, you know, the kids fought back. I mean, they bought in. They were playing with some enthusiasm. They were high-fiving each other. You know,
excellent.
We told them at halftime, just go out there and just let it all out. Like, what do you got to lose? You're down 20-6. Just go and stop playing worried. Stop playing nervous. Just go hit. And, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job of doing that in the second half and came about a yard and a half short of tying it up.
And Ipswich has got some big wins so far this year. They're a good team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the funny thing is I've gotten to know Kevin Fassett over there.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in a neighborhood of one of my friends, so we've been hanging out. Really good guy. He's done a great job over there. He actually has one of my former players over there as one of his assistants, Kevin Drislane from Beverly.
Is that right? Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, you know, what do you make of the North there, the Kinney, with Triton losing over the weekend? And I mean, they were sailing along at 5-0.
Yeah, you know what? As you know, and like they say, any given Sunday, anyone can win or lose. You know, sometimes it's just about matchups. You know, you may have good talent, but maybe this team just does something that you can't match up with. Maybe it's a size up front, or maybe it's a good quarterback and a good receiver. You know, we've been on both ends where, you know, we thought we matched up against great teams, and we also thought, like, you know, Linfield and Hamilton Wenham, you know, their game plan was perfect. We, you know, pretty weak in the secondary because of inexperience, and those two teams definitely exposed us, you know, in those two games. So that was a really not a great matchup for us.
Coach, sometimes you have to dip down into your freshmen with the low numbers and so on, and when you get injuries, other guys have to come in who maybe aren't Paul Ingram was mentioning this the other day. When they're younger, they may have the brains, but they don't have the physical capability yet. They haven't, their bodies just haven't matured, and you want to protect them. But have you learned anything about some of the younger kids with some of the stuff you guys have gone through?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If some of these kids stick with it, they're going to be great. I mean, I had, you know, three sophomores score in the game the other night. I had Dan Rodier, a fullback. I had Bobby Beardsley, a running back, and Jake Athanas, a running back. So those are three sophomores that, you know, we're counting on. All three of those kids started both ways for us, you know. And on any, you know, some of those teams that we had in Beverly when I was coaching over there, those kids would probably play one side on JV.
Mm-hmm.
These kids, we're asking them to play a lot more football than they should be at their age. And yeah, exactly. A 15-year-old kid is not the same as an 18-year-old
right.
young man. You know, it's just physically different. No matter how well you know the offense or know the game, there's just some battles that 18-year-old kid is going to beat you in. And, you know, our kids have battled back, and we tell them every week, like, look, guys, some of you guys are playing in new positions, you know, because of numbers, injuries, we had to move people around. And they just keep showing up, and they keep working hard. And, you know, every week we tell them that this is going to be our week. And as soon as they believe it, it's going to be. We're going to be right one of these times.
Oh, yeah.
Our week where we finally break through this losing streak here.
You got to go through the school and pick out these best athletes from the eighth grade on, I imagine. But you said that. You've got a program going that's going pretty well, and more kids are getting interested.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we have a good – I run the off-season workout program. One of my assistant coaches is actually a PE teacher at the high school, and he's also the head baseball coach. So he's got some of his players that have said, oh, you know, coach, next year I want to play football. You know, next year I can't wait to play football.
Excellent.
So if I get three or four of those kids paired with a good eighth grade class, we'll be back over 30. And that's, you know, it's not great. It's not ideal, but at least now you can have that sub-varsity team, which we had to cancel this year.
You're getting it.
And that's just the biggest crime of this whole thing, is that those kids aren't getting the playing experience this year that they should.
Right.
That's going to put them back another year or at least half a year until they can get back in track and figure it out next year.
So is Jake Athanas related to Mike?
It is. It's his son.
Uh-huh. And so does Mike come to the games?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well,
I don't think Jake wants him to come to the game. Other than we are on the sideline.
Little conflict there. Listen, Coach, I've got one more question, and Tim's.
Sure.
And then it's Tim's turn. But tell me a little bit about your game coming up this week. You've got, who is it, Amesbury coming up?
We've got Amesbury this Friday.
All right. So what do you see in them?
They're big, they're tough, and then that's what they were last year. And then they came in and lined up, and they run a wing T, but they do it out of a double-type formation primarily. And here we go. You know what we're going to run. We're coming at you. So it's a whole new test, a whole new different team. You know, last week, Ipswich ran some of the shotgun. They actually had four or five wide receivers sometimes. Then they would line up in the option. So we had a lot of different things to prepare for last week. This week it's our offense, but they do it in that power set, so... You know, I'm sure they're licking their chops. You know, they won their first game last week versus Hamilton Wenham. You know, it's probably their last home game. It's probably senior night for them up there. So they'd love nothing more than to beat us again this year.
You know, Coach, having coached baseball on all three levels, one of the things I think you have to keep, you have to do to the kids when you look at 0-3 in the conference, you look at the other side and you go, gentlemen, we're 2-4.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to build on that.
Oh, yeah, because you can beat them into the ground all day long. They know it. I mean, what more are you going to accomplish by harping on that? You know, that's what we always say. It's just, you know, Belichick says it, but we've all been saying it for years. It's on to the next week. You know, we like today, we watched the film, made the corrections, watched Amesbury. Let's go to practice tomorrow. Let's get better. You know, that's each day a little better than the day before, and that's really all you can do at this point.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the disadvantage of not having a sub-varsity where a lot of the kids would get playing time against kids more to their level right now. But if they survive this learning experience, having to play varsity as freshmen, I mean, it's really going to steal them to come into next year with a lot more confidence. Like, I played varsity. I got up against the varsities of other teams. I know what to expect. So now in the off season, you know what to focus on, bigger, better, faster, stronger, and that's a, a, a motivating factor to get into the summer workouts, to become that, to become, you know, going as a sophomore, and now you take it to the varsity level again, but now you're really ready for it.
Yeah, that's what we hope. We hope they get hungry. You know, even the kids that play just a little bit, we want them to, you know, that's like dangle McCarrot in front of some of these kids. You know, some of them we had to force feed them that carrot. We don't have time to tease them with it. They have to eat it right now. So. But you're right. They have to, you know, some of these kids that are just physically outmatched right now, they realize, you know, that's what happened. We had a couple of kids that played versus freshmen last year. They played other sports. They worked out. And now they're playing both ways as sophomores. So that's right. Natural progression. We hope they get better. But you can't just show up. You know, just because you played last year doesn't mean you just show up and be good. So they're starting to buy into it. You know, I always preach, I want my kids competing. You know, I'll get you in the summer to work out. There's no problem. Just go play other sports, you know. With 206 kids at that high school, it's not like I can hoard kids. I gotta let them play other sports.
No, right. And, but that's the thing. I mean, you know, the kid who played, the multi-sport athlete is the better overall conditioned athlete.
Oh, I love that. I'd rather that kid any day.
You know, and because he's less, we all know, he's less prone to breaking down because he's used more muscle groups. All right, Coach.
And the other benefit is they're not hanging out with the same kids all the time.
Right.
You know, like, there's a type. I mean, I've coached baseball, I've coached track, I've done, you know, lacrosse, all that stuff. And there's types. And some of those kids, it's good to hang out with different kids and have different types of competition. You know, I didn't do it in high school, but there was one regret. I wish I would have wrestled. You know, I spent a lot of time with my relatives and my father out in the woods hunting during the winter. But, you know, it's one of those sports where you can't hide. You know, some other basketball, baseball, you can blame the pitcher for giving up the home run, or he missed a foul shot, but who are you going to blame when you're laying on your back? You know, that's why I love wrestling.
Exactly, and if you know, the other teams that you're playing with are having success, you learn to feed off that success, and you want to bring it back to the football team as an example.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Okay, Coach, last question tonight. It's a question of the night for the coaches. Is your favorite restaurant in Manchester, Essex? Are in their area.
The favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant.
Or Essex?
Yeah.
In the area, Cape Ann, North Shore area.
So we've only been to a few. I'm trying to expand my horizons. Like, we moved to Beverly about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, so we still haven't touched on half the restaurants here. But the one that we really liked that we went to a couple weeks ago back in the summer was at CK Pearls over in Essex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great meal.
Yep.
Excellent. I would recommend it.
Right on the causeway.
That's right, right there.
Yep, we know where it is.
I recommend it.
All right, Coach.
You moved to Beverly too late. Or did you, depending on your time, did you ever get to go to Freddy's on Rantoul Street?
Yeah, it used to be, now it's a Pickled Onion, correct?
Yeah, but when it was Freddy's. Yeah,
I remember, I taught in Beverly for 8 years, and I coached for 15.
So okay. All right, you guys spent a couple of meetings there afterwards.
Oh, that's right, exactly.
Business meetings. I get that. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much, man. Good luck this week. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach Jeff Hutton, Manchester Essex football, and you can feel the enthusiasm, and I know that there are going to be more and more kids playing over there.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
And success, again, you have it down here, all of a sudden, there's that hangover effect to the year afterwards, your numbers decrease, but you begin to have success with the numbers that you do have, and kids go, hey, I want to be part of this, because, you know, the kids on the team are hanging with other kids, they're talking about, you know, what they can do, just, why don't you come out, help us out, and all of a sudden, you get that crossover athlete. Like you said, you play another sport, you can bring athletes back over to the football team as well.
Okay, this is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, that's Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell will be on by later on, and we still have a couple of more coaches to go, including Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt next, if all goes well. So we'll take a break and come right back with the Peabody football coach on North Shore Sports Night.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back live now, and Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt is on the line. A big win over Lynn English on Friday night that we broadcast on MSO. And, Coach, welcome back. I have to ask you, I was watching the game in that first quarter, and I'm thinking you did not go to the Arthur Adamopoulos School of High School Football Coaching because you guys passed the ball like there was no tomorrow, and it was a spectacular first quarter. So tell us about that.
Well, Coach Adamopoulos wouldn't have been happy watching that game, that's for sure. And it's funny because, you know, I believe in a lot of the same things that he did, pound and grind the ball out. But when I saw what Lynn English was doing against us, they basically put, you know, six, seven-man line, guys in every gap, trying to stop the run. And when we did, attempt it a couple of times, it was obvious that we were going to have trouble. So we, you know, started throwing the ball, and Matt D'Amato was accurate. The offensive line was sustaining their blocks, and we kind of shifted gears and said, well, if they're going to go all out to stop the run, we're going to have to do some throwing today. And, you know, it worked out great for us. Matt D'Amato was on. Our receivers were holding on to the ball and then running nice, you know, good routes and getting some space. And we were able to throw the ball around the yard for the first quarter.
You mentioned last week, Coach, about your linebackers, how solid they are. And, geez, they were huge in that first, well, during the whole ball game, really. And for, I don't know, four or five of your drives, you had such a short field. You forced turnovers. You stopped them all over the place. And your defense just was outstanding on Friday night.
Well, again, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. We were taking advantage of the gifts of some pretty good field position. I think our special teams, our kickoff team, did a nice job of putting them deep and making them go a long way. And our defense is putting us in great positions to put points on the board.
Coach, was it part of your strategy during the week of practice to go to the air against Lynn English in the event that they did fill the box against the running game?
Well, if you go back to maybe 2 or 3 years ago, when we were undefeated coming out of the gates, and we played a real tough Winthrop team that really shut down our running game, we had nothing to go to. And as a coach, you try to make sure that you always have something in case your game plan doesn't work. That's one thing I learned early as a head coach. So we always are practicing the throwing game. I prefer not to throw it because there's so many factors that come into mm-hmm. the success of that. You got to throw it accurately. You got to protect long enough. You got to make the catch. You're risking an interception and a turnover every time you throw the ball. So I like to run, but we do practice our passing game just as much as we practice our running game in practice for that very reason.
You've got receivers. You've got tall kids. You've got fast kids, and then you got Jake Daugherty coming out of the backfield, and he had a spectacular game.
Jake Daugherty, Eric DeMeo, Noah Friedman, Nick Moses. All four of our runners came out running the ball hard, running, you know, the big thing with us is to run downhill. If you watch us generally run the ball, teams like Gloucester, Beverly, you got to find guys that are willing to run downhill. We don't want to dance. We're not looking for any points for finesse. And we want to pound the ball. And when you tackle us, we want it to hurt a little bit. And that's what all four of our running backs did very well in that game.
Coach, you guys have played two strong games in a row, really coming together. And, I wonder what your message is now this week because, you had a big game, big score. And before I even get to that, how difficult is it, Mark, to coach a game, when you're up 35-0 at the half? Because you got to consider your kids, and I'm sure you consider the opposition. What are some of the challenges of coaching when you're up 35-0 at the half for that second half?
It's funny you say that. That was the biggest conversation we had as a coaching staff before we addressed the kids at halftime. You know, we're not used to being in that situation. We're not a team that goes out and usually blows the door off people in the first half. And I have to compare it to baseball. You know, when you take a 15-0 lead in the second inning, how do you get through the rest of that game? You're still scoring a pass ball, all those little things, the unwritten rules. And, we basically said, listen, we're not used to being here. We're going to run without ones one more series because we were receiving the ball to start the second half, and we'll see where it goes. And that drive ended up taking the entire third quarter
right
out of that game. We were like, wow, I guess that's how we should have done it. We made the right call.
Yeah, I've never seen a game either where each team just has one possession in the second half. That was pretty amazing too. The Revere had the one possession for the whole fourth quarter.
Yeah, because
English, I'm sorry.
Fourth quarter.
Yep.
Coach, with the exception of Marblehead and Glossett at about 4-0 in the conference, the records are really muddled. It's really open to anybody to get into the playoffs, isn't it?
I mean, our league is very similar to like what I have to look at is the 1A, the division of the North. Everybody seems to be 3-3, 2-4, 4-2. There isn't that like team that's really separated itself. But a lot of that is kind of hidden with the fact that Reading plays a very tough schedule. Lincoln Sudbury plays a tough schedule. Malden Catholic plays a very, very tough schedule. You know, a lot of dual county league teams in. You get Chelmsford, who plays the Merrimack Valley. You get North Andover, who plays a very challenging schedule. So it's kind of convoluted with the fact that there's some pretty good strength of schedule teams in 1A. So some of those records can definitely, I'm not sure how good the team actually is.
All right, you got a big one this week coming up against Danvers. So what's the message this week at practice, and how do you see Danvers?
Danvers, we've watched the film on one of the both games that they gave us, and they're obviously very, very talented. They're very well coached. They're tough kids. They're playing well right now. We're catching them at a hot point. You know, defensively, they do some things that we've got to be able to counteract, or you can get in trouble real quick with them. And defensively, I mean, you know, we know Andres is a good player. We know Borders is a good, you know, a good single caller, and that we have to make sure that those two guys don't control the game on us. And if you allow them to, again, you can find yourself behind them by a couple of touchdowns really, really quick. But we'll find, we broke down the film. We have a game plan that, you know, we're going to try to implement. And, you know, if it works and our kids can execute, I think we have a shot. If we allow them to run the game they want to run, you saw against Beverly, you can be in a shootout against this team.
Yeah, and they have quick strike capability all over the field, as you said, from Borders to Andreas to another number of individuals that if you focus on those two, there are two or three other guys that can come up and put points on the board for them.
And that's what makes them scary. I mean, they pitched a couple of shutouts a couple of weeks ago, and you know, now you see Beverly put some points on the board, and they go right up there and go score for score with them. So they have the capability to do a lot of things. A lot of things that they want to dictate a lot of the things that you do. You know, and then that's the stuff that we try to counteract and have a plan for and be able to adjust on the run depending upon what they do to us.
Yeah, and they play the entire minutes of the game, the 44 minutes. Bill and I broadcast their home game against Marblehead, and that was back and forth, and they had a chance to tie that game at the end, and it just didn't work out for them. But boy, they never quit. They go full bore right to the bitter end of the game, so you can't let up against them.
Oh, this isn't a surprise to us. This is, you know, my fourth year. The fourth year we'll be playing Danvers. That we're in a game that means a lot to both teams. My first year, I think Valley's ended the last play of the game with a 80-yard fumble strip that ended the game. The next year, we had a battle over in Danvers. Last year, we had a great... I expect no different this year. I mean, Danvers kids and Peabody kids are very competitive. We have great games in baseball. We have great games. I mean, it doesn't matter what sport it is. Danvers is a rival that never really showed itself. You know, 20, 25 years ago, mm-hmm. It's something new, and I think that they're similar type of kids. They're tough kids. They're not going to quit, and you better pack a lunch anytime you play them.
Exactly. All right, Coach, question that I've been asking all the coaches we've talked to, favorite restaurant? It could be in Peabody or outside of Peabody.
My favorite restaurant in Peabody would probably be Champions Pub, but if you don't say that in Peabody, you get beat up. downtown Peabody, and you know, that's the place to go. But you know, Petrillo's is very close down the street, so you got to be careful which one you choose. But one of my favorite restaurants since I was a kid has always been, and I hate to say it, it's in Marblehead, small hole in the wall on the water called the Barnacle. That's one of my favorite restaurants to go get something to eat with my wife.
Fantastic, fantastic.
All right, so you go to Champions and Petrillo's with your buddies, and you take the wife to the Barnacle.
That's going to ship out of town, or you want to put on my disguise and no one knows,
Coach. You're a hard man to disguise, Coach. Oh, man. All right, Mark. We'll see you Friday night. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you Friday night.
Take care, Coach. That's Coach Mark Betancourt. I got to pull up my...
Champions is a very, very popular place in Peabody.
Oh, he's a hard man not to recognize. All right, so one more coach. We're running behind time here. We've got to have Bill Newell on a little while, too, so we'll take a quick break here and come right back. Final coach will be Steve Cummings over in Wakefield. We'll be right back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Again.
All right, we made it. A little technical problem there. Steve Cummings, the Wakefield coach, is on board. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good. How you guys doing tonight?
Good. It was that long-distance call that, you know, was the problem. Lots of the Wakefield.
There you go. Coach, well, congratulations. You got at least a share of the title. Is that correct, by winning on Friday night?
Yeah. So right now we have a 4-0 record in the league. There's a couple things that could happen that could either force a two-way tie or a three-way tie. But, you know, right now our guys have put themselves in a position where we kind of control everything, and that's where we like it.
Well, give us a little recap on the game Friday night, and then you know, the fact that you went outside the league, you ran into some big challenges at the beginning and overcame some obstacles. So explain about the game Friday night, please.
Yeah, Friday night we had Burlington, and you know, Burlington's got a big time quarterback, kid Dylan Bonfilio. He's been a 3-year starter for them. He's, you know, he's a big kid. He's 6'3". Really can make every throw. So you know, we were able to get up early on them, which was good because that kid can throw them back into a game. So we got up 22-0 in the third. They were able to come up with a couple late scores, but you know, we were able to hold tight. Our running game really ran some clock in the second half, but our passing game, you know, the kid Mike Lucy, who I feel like we talk about every week, threw a couple nice touchdowns in the first half. They were trying to, you know, send some pressure at him and play man coverage all across the board, and he was able to throw him out of it a little bit. So it was a pretty well-balanced win. Our defense played very well. We forced 4 turnovers, which has been really helping us out over the past couple of years. We've really, our defense has had a knack of just coming up with the ball offensively. We haven't been turning it over much. When you win the turnover battle, it's you know, you're going to win a lot more games than you lose.
Coach, I was going to ask you about the progression of your young quarterback throughout the season. Of course, you lost your starter at the very beginning of the season to an injury. Talk about the progression for your quarterback throughout this season so far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he first got the starting job, it was, you know, I don't want to say, it was never like a deer in headlights, but it was a lot for him to take on. You know, Mike's an ultra-competitive kid, you know, so there was never a time where we thought that he wasn't going to be able to step up to the task and handle it. But we really had to scale the playbook down when he first took over the starting job, because we didn't want to have to throw too much at him. The way I've always looked at football players is, if they're thinking too much, they're not reacting, they're not playing. So in the last couple of weeks where he's really been able to take control of what we've been throwing at him, we've been able to add a lot more on. So we have a lot more in our play action game now. We're letting him call a lot more stuff at the line, letting him check into certain route combos with his receivers that he wants. And one of the biggest things I saw, so about 5 o'clock, we have a team meeting
before games, and he was talking with some of his receivers, and they weren't really on the same page with it. So Mike took the kids into the classroom, and they just said he was drawing it up on the whiteboard. He was like, "I want you to be here. I need you to be here." And you know, for me to watch that, you know, he's coaching guys up. He's a sophomore. He's talking to senior receivers and explaining to guys where they're supposed to be on certain plays. You know, he's really starting to grasp a lot more of the playbook, which means we can just call more and feel comfortable with him being able to check us in and out of good plays. And it really is, you know, he's growing up right in front of everyone. He's had a hell of a year so far.
You know, doing that, it's almost Brady-esque the way that Brady tutors his players as to where he wants them, where he expects them to be in given situations that they have to recognize, because he's recognizing them as he's walking to the line of scrimmage. They have to be able to see the same things.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where he'll tell guys, you know, hey, if they give us this look, I'm throwing this. You've got to be here. Or, you know, you're running that route too long. Or, you know, Mike's just, he's picking up a little bit more every week. Every week we feel a little bit more comfortable, putting a little bit more on his plate where, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were running a lot of two-back stuff, and, you know, we weren't really having him read the end too much on read option type stuff. And, you know, now we're giving him kind of multiple reads, and, you know, he's picking it up. The kid's a football player.
Steve, we're a little behind tonight, and I've got one more call to make. I hate to rush you, but what do you got this week now? What's the plan? What's your coaching plan for the kids, and who are you guys facing on Friday?
So we have Winchester Friday night. Winchester's bringing in some portable lights. They're doing a big senior night over there, so it'll be a good environment. It's our last regular season game. It's an anomaly game. But, you know, Wally Stembowski's the head coach over there. He does a great job with those kids. They're going to be very well coached. They run some pretty complex offensive schemes. You know, this spread, they're going to give you a lot to think about. There's a lot to defend. He's got a really good quarterback, kid Liam Fitzgerald. He's, you know, another kid who's really in the same mold of the kid we faced last week. So we have to make sure that kid doesn't go off and beat us, because their offense is capable of putting up a lot of points. You know, their defense, It's one of those bend but don't break type things. They're going to give you certain things, but you got to be able to cash in on them. They got really good team speed. You know, big thing we're looking for is our guys to continue momentum. The little things that we've done all year to get us in this position, I'm just asking the guys to keep doing that. You don't have to do any more than that. You know, just because we're 4-2 now and we have a shared lead title doesn't mean that we have to go outside of our comfort zone and try to make things happen. Just let the game come to you, and hopefully we're able to do that Friday night under the lights and everything works out.
Gloucester almost did a favor for you. They almost had Wally Dombowski as their athletic director. He was a finalist this year, but didn't make the final cut. So you got to face Wally this week.
Yeah, no, he was actually a finalist over at Wakefield too. So Wally was, he's very highly recommended.
Absolutely,
Wally's a great guy.
Absolutely,
I see him at a lot of coaching clinics. He's a guy who's, you know, offensively, he's off the charts in terms of, you know, what he brings to the table and certain concepts that he likes to run. You know, so we know that they're going to throw a lot at us. There's not really a defensive scheme we can put in front of him that he hasn't seen, knows how to dissect. It's really about whether or not we can get our kids to be in position, you know, when they have to be there.
Team discipline, coach, right?
That's it. We've been living on it this year. We just got to keep riding that train.
Okay. Last question to every coach. Your favorite restaurant in town, in Wakefield?
Favorite restaurant in Wakefield. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, I don't really go out to eat a lot. I'm not a big going out guy, but I will tell you that I'm going to give a shout out to the Dockside in Wakefield. The staff heads there after big wins. So, Dockside, right down the street from my house. They've been an establishment in Wakefield for a long time. And, you know, so I'll give them a little press here.
Okay, great. Thank you, Coach.
Sounds good, Coach. We'll talk to you during the playoffs.
All right. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Friday night.
Thank you very much.
Steve Cummings, who's the Wakefield coach. Let's take one more quick break, see if we can get Bill Newell on board and see what Bill's thoughts are. You're listening to MSO News Sports. We will be right back. Yes, we will.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSONewsports.com. MSO Radio.
Well, this should be fun. Bill Newell is with us now. Hi, Bill.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. We've talked to a mess of coaches, and Tim came up with a new hook tonight. He's been asking the coaches about their favorite restaurants in the area, which spoils my whole idea for an entire show, an entire program. But not a bad idea. You do you have a favorite restaurant in your area?
Oh man. Sylvan Street Grill, Rick.
Absolutely. There you go. Well, that's full disclosure, that's where our team meetings are. That's where my business office is at Sylvan Street. Absolutely.
Okay, now I've also asked your favorite in the town where you live. I know Nahant doesn't have a whole lot. But
there really isn't a lot to choose from. you got Kelly Green's, you got Seaside, which is a sub shop. They're good.
Okay.
And then you've got the Tides.
The Tides, yeah.
Okay.
I'll put the Porthole in there, too. They're right on. They're ready to buy.
Yeah, that's true, the Porthole. Yeah, it's within shouting distance if you throw a rock across the harbor.
All those guys are good, and I'll give a shout-out to the Porthole.
Okay. Excellent. Bill, have you been keeping an eye on scores tonight or anything like that?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing, yeah. We got a lot of scores up there tonight. Got a lot of photos up there tonight as well. Got all kinds of photos up there. So check out the score post that's up there as we speak.
Okay. And what do you get?
You're looking for some scores. Hold on a second.
Well, not necessarily. No. We can go right to the website. No, that's not a problem. And I'm also wondering what you may have lined up this week. I know you started a new feature a couple of weeks ago about interviewing the player of the game. Each Friday night, one of the broadcast teams will pick a player of the game from the two or three games that we do over the weekend. And you've been interviewing these kids. And most recently, last week, I can't remember who it was.
Jake Doherty this past week, right?
Jake Doherty coming up. Yeah, I was wondering who you interviewed last week.
Dean Borders from Danbury.
Right, that's right, Dean Borders.
You talk about catching a kid while he's hot. I mean, he came back from an injury. He scored, he rushed for two touchdowns 3 weeks ago and passed for one. 2 weeks ago, he rushed for two touchdowns and passed for one. And then he scored three Saturday. I think I have that right. In other words, he's counted for seven touchdowns in the last three games.
You know, the thing about Borders, Bill, is that he's really stabilized the quarterback position for Danvers in that they don't have to rotate Andreas and other guys through that position and. Well, not necessarily put them out of position, but it takes them out of their stronger positions because he is just so versatile, both running and throwing the football.
Yeah, he doesn't strike you as somebody that would be a great runner. I'm just saying because he looks like he's the guy that's going to drop back and pass and set up. You know, he's got a tall frame, so to speak, but he can run. I mean, he's got a nice way about him and picks his spots and. You know, if they back off of him, and he's got great timing too, as for when to run and when not to run. But yeah, they're not afraid to design plays and have him run. And so he's added a lot of depth, I think, to that offense. Another wrinkle, just something else and worry about.
You know, we're focusing on football as we often do on a Monday night, and you have a program, Bill, that I think is absolutely amazing on either Thursdays or Fridays, and it's the football preview show for the weekend. And how do you put that together, and what's the format? Because you have so many different people. What I do is I listen to it on the way to the game now. We used to do that when you had the scoreboard show at WESX, we'd listen to it on the way after the game. But I listen to the preview show now on the way to the game that I'm doing, and I'm just wondering how you put that thing together.
Jeez, I don't know. I don't know. Well, just put it together. Just that's what we do, you know.
Gorilla glue.
I mean, we got a lot of help from you guys. We got a lot of, you know, during the course of the week, we'll talk to, that's what's unique about the website. During the course of the week, we probably talk to at least 10 or hear from 10 different area coaches, football coaches. And so we just make sure we save some of that and we use it again or parts of it again, little bits of it. And so, it's kind of, we'd love to tell, for the entire website, have people tell their own story in their own voice.
And you've also added John Squires to the mix, and maybe he can help me out with this this playoff thing, because I don't know who the hell is in the running.
Yeah, you got to look at it. I got to give the Herald credit for that, because the Herald does a nice thing. They update the standings, and they have by their divisions. So a little shout out to Danny V there and the Herald and the high school sports there. So you can look at all the different, and they have the records. My question is, what day it's in. So, but, and, you know, maybe we'll try to find that out. So I know John comes prepared with that sometimes mm-hmm. when we talk, but it's very useful in when you're talking about, the postseason, because that's the configuration of the postseason. It's not so much NEC North, NEC South.
Right.
You know, that's nice for right now, but it's 3A, 2A, you know, Division 3, Division 2, whatever. That's the way you have to look at it when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, I, what's interesting, too, Bill, is we've talked to the coaches tonight. I was surprised. And the coaches know, they know what the standings are, so they're looking at it. And not so much the league standings, but like you just said, the division standings. They're keeping an eye on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. They definitely do. You know, they clearly are on top of that piece. And so when you look at that...
We lost you, Bill.
We really haven't talked about that too much. You know, you and I haven't, anyways,
right.
About how you collect points in advance. Really, this week or last week, you know, you guys got talking about that piece as well. So there, you know, there becomes a lot at stake, you know, for some of these teams, you know, moving forward. For example, a Peabody win. Friday night against Danvers, they'll get a lot of points mm-hmm. out of Danvers if they, you know, I would imagine if they could pull that upset in Danvers on
yeah.
Friday night. But the game is in Danvers.
Yeah. Your phone's fading in and out, Bill, or mine is. I'm not sure which one it is. Did I lose you? Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to call it a night anyway, and yeah, I'll see if I can get Sick Ingram on that too, along with John. All right, Bill.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you, Bill.
That's Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore, and sound like wow. His phone was just going down.
I got away without an insult.
The rabbit hole.
Or maybe he did, but it was kind of cranky.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Bet you're disappointed.
Oh, man.
You know,
no.
Phil Stacey took a shot at me.
Phil?
And I wasn't even there.
I find that hard to believe.
He said during the game that he was there in his shorts. Okay, usual derriere, and he's criticizing me for, there was one game I showed up with dungarees on, and I said, well, I had just come back from another place, I really didn't have time to change, so I just came right to the game, but of course that wasn't good enough, so the next week I show up, I have my shorts on, so, you know, so this coming week, if Phil comes to the Beverly game.
That's all he said? That was mild, was nothing.
But he was going after the fact that I don't occasionally dress appropriately, like in shorts. So this week, I will be in shorts. I just want Phil to know I will be in shorts, and we are going to take a picture.
Okay.
It's going to be quite a picture of he and I.
Oh, boy.
Standing there with our shorts
okay.
on.
Okay, all right.
In mid-late October.
Make sure you tweet that also, because
yes.
I'm sure that will go, what do they call it, viral?
Oh, yeah, we're viral.
All right, Coach. Thanks to all our coaches tonight. A lot of fun once again. Thanks to Tim Kearns and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and, of course,
Mr. Moore,
to Bill Newell.
And your favorite restaurant?
I can't limit it to one.
Now you have to pick one.
I can't
everybody
limit it to one.
Some people
might. My wife has a great saying, you can't throw a stone on the North Shore without hitting a good restaurant.
That is true.
And
true.
I have a million of them, and I will list a lot of them as we go on. We already mentioned Sylvan Street. I think in town here, we like to go out for fresh fish, obviously, the Gloucester House, one of our sponsors, of course. And we also like Halibut Point over in the eastern part of Gloucester. But there are so many.
Yeah, and that's one thing in Beverly as well. In the last decade or so, a number of new establishments have certainly opened up. And then there's the old steady places that is still there, and I wish Freddy's was still there.
So off the top of your head, all of these places, every single one of them is excellent.
What's yeah. where don't I go? Lord. Unfortunately, Freddy's isn't there anymore. That would be top of the list, certainly. You know, Anchor Pub at the base of the Salem-Beverly Bridge is...
Oh, we've had business meetings there, too.
Yes, we have.
Yes, very nice.
Good food, plenty of food.
Yep.
Very, very, more than reasonable prices. And you need to get there early during the weeknights because it does does get busy.
Okay. All right, so let's try it again. That's Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Newell, our producer and engineer. See ya. Bye-bye.